Yeah, Mike Sandup over here is pretty
interesting. Rated M for a mature audience. It contains coarse language.
Coming to you live from a very cool corner of Midtown Sacramento, it's the Nate Dolan Show with Sam Platts and Kareem Daniels there. And now, a man who does things because he can. Here's Nate.
Hey, happy Friday, everybody.
Happy Friday.
I don't feel any older. Yesterday was my birthday, but...
Nate's birthday.
Goddamn.
Bring on the strippers.
Should you go around and collect free desserts at all the restaurants?
No. Got a free lunch at work and free Brazilian steakhouse. Well, free. My girlfriend's taking me out to the Brazilian steakhouse.
Let's take him to go see some strippers.
Free strippers.
I don't know how that would go over.
We don't have to tell her.
Well, it goes over about the same way every time.
Yeah, it does. She does listen to the show.
Maybe I should get a hold of Sam and Diana. You in, man?
Oh, yeah, sure, why not? I love wasting money on not getting laid.
You do it every
night. It's my favorite thing to do.
You do it every other night anyway, so.
I honestly have not been to a strip club since I moved to the West Coast. I have not.
That is enough reason in itself.
Yeah, only time I've gone is for bachelor parties and whatnot, and, you know, it's been interesting. You know what was really interesting? Last time I was at a strip club, this is a couple years ago, I was over at Club Fantasy, and people were like lining up to order food, and I was like, what the hell is going on? And this dude's like, dude, these are the best chicken wings in town, I swear to God. I was like, really, dude? Really? It's like, there's a cliche, like, chicken wings at the strip club. Like, you come here just for the chicken wings, right? He's like, dude, these are really good. I tried some of those chicken wings. They were goddamn good, man. They were delicious.
And the last strip club I went to was in Iowa.
Ooh.
It's called the Lumberyard. And I think is
are you talking about this? You bring your own beer in there?
Yes, that's
yeah,
the BYOB
I was like
club.
A BYOB strip club.
Strip club, yeah, that place was funny.
Last strip club I went to was Shea Perret in Montreal. That's the one that the hockey players all go to because it's just up the street from the Bell Center.
Yeah,
it's run by the Hell's Angels. They do a nice job,
really?
I will say. Yes.
And the last time I went to the strip club out here, Brian McKnight was in there.
was he wearing a sweater?
No, he wasn't.
The motherfucker
wearing
wears a sweater in every goddamn video show I've ever seen.
Is he the one that had that song about making sex or gonna make you wet or something?
No,
who was that?
He's anytime that if I could something. Well,
no, there was.
Have you ever crossed your mind?
Have I ever crossed your mind anytime? Yeah.
Either way, I don't know.
The last time I wasn't in a strip club, but I was in a club where someone was stripping. And you know where that always happens is Portland. I was in a bar, and just randomly there was a stage off. It was just a regular bar. This shit only happens in Portland. It's a regular bar. I'm sitting there, and off to the left, this girl gets up on this little stage, puts a dollar in the jukebox, selects her own song, and starts stripping.
Oh, wow.
And I felt bad because nobody was paying attention. I was like nobody, like everyone's having conversations and shit. I was like, this young lady is getting naked for your entertainment over here. And you rude assholes are not paying attention.
They must have seen it every Friday.
Seriously, I think they were just like, oh, that's just Tiffany.
I was like, oh, we've seen those titties before.
All right. It was Brian McKnight. And the song was How Your Pussy Works. From 2012.
Let me give you a little bit of the track. This is what I say. Let me show you how your pussy works. Since you didn't bring it to me first, I have lots of things to show.
Why does Brian McKnight know more about her pussy than she does? Like, I would hope she knows how her pussy works.
So Brian McKnight was doing research for this song.
Oh, thank you, Brian.
Apparently.
McKnight. That is now I know what I'm playing for next Valentine's Day. When
there goes his church following.
That was in 2012. Some people called it career suicide. You guys didn't even know about it.
That is it.
Guess what, honey?
Well, shit, nobody had heard from him since 2008.
Yeah.
Well, he showed up again. It was published in April of 2012. It got 165,000 views. And 208 thumbs down.
Oh, that's it. That's not
that's
bad.
It.
No.
How many? Oh, never mind. I was going to have all kinds of questions about fingers up and whatnot. But.
So that's what Brian McKnight was up to. All right, Kareem, we neglected to do it last show because, you know, that's how the white man works.
Of course.
It's time to do Kareem's little known black history.
That's why we have it, because y'all, that's how y'all work. So actually, last week would have been Negro History Week, which was a combination of Frederick Douglass and Abraham Lincoln's birthday.
Okay.
So Abraham Lincoln's birthday is February 12th.
Frederick Douglass' birthday is
February 14th. Yeah, but he gets credit for freeing the slaves.
Okay.
So that was when how Carter G. Woodson determined when Black History Week would be.
Okay.
Which was like, he started that like in 1926. And then in 1976 was when it became like a month-long thing. So that is our little-known Black History fact.
All right. Cool.
Soon enough, you guys can maybe have history throughout the year. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see how this whole month thing goes. Well, week lasted all right. Now
well, you know,
if
y'all stop trying to take credit for every damn day.
Well, we decided in February we were going to do some little known Black history every show.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how we do it.
Yeah, they've got Black people have like what, the Super Soaker, the Cotton Gin, and what else?
Advancements on the traffic light, gas mask. what else did he do?
Magnum condoms.
The most impactful one for me is the Super Soaker. Seriously, that dude was like a NASA scientist.
The steam engine,
and has made millions of dollars off of that thing.
Fuck, that dude did a lot of stuff. Not that guy. Fuck, I can't think of the name of the inventor now. But yeah, he did a lot of stuff.
Eli Whitney.
fuck, I can't think of his name. But yeah, he did a lot of inventions, or he like helped push certain inventions further.
It's always random. There's like one dude who just has a million inventions. How is it like there's not like, you know, it's not like 1,000 people come up with 1,000 different things. It's always like one dude comes up with everything.
George Washington Carver, you know, he gets credit for the soybean and the peanuts, but man, he did some shit with that. Those things, like,
well, yeah, it's always like one dude, like Tesla, will come up with just like everything about electronics. You're like, how is there one dude that came up with everything? Like,
I don't know. How is it that Billy Mays found all of those exciting products?
But like,
how was it Billy D was in all of those 80s movies? I have no idea.
Like, George Washington Carver made he used a soybean to make some plastic for a car body, and the shit was more durable than any damn thing that Ford had.
But did he teach women how their pussies work?
He did not teach women how their pussies work.
That is my question.
It's Brian McKnight.
That was Brian McKnight. Actually, I think he was actually castrated.
Brian McKnight?
What? No, George Washington.
Now you're just depressing me. Come
on. Well, that would explain why he had so much free time and energy.
That's why he came up with all these inventions. He wasn't worried about how pussies work.
Because he was just like, I think he was. I'm almost certain.
That's unfortunate.
Coming up with peanut cars and whatnot.
That was it.
Well, I have to give a shout out to...
That's how white people work. Like, we're going to send you to school with those white women. We don't have to castrate you.
I want to give a shout out to Mike's Bikes here in Sacramento. Last week, I purchased my second bicycle, my first one from them, and they were just really super cool there. Just like, oh, you want to ride that? Here, take that. Hey, take that out. What do you want to do? Blah, blah, blah. I mean, you're just awesome. And yeah, just a really good place. So... If you're looking to buy a bike, and they're not paying me, by the way. I gave them money for the bike. I did not get a discount. I just had a really good experience with them.
If I could afford, like, one of those $5,000 road bikes that, you know, people like, what like do you oh, think? It weighs, like, you know, like 2 pounds, and then I could just go bike for, like, 60 miles. And
well, yeah, I did not spend that kind of cash. I'm like, all right, I'm going to need to see the low end of your inventory. This is what I'm going to need. But the low end of the inventory... is not, I mean, it's gone up.
Yeah, if I'm looking at the low end of the inventory, I just drive around, you know, Oak Park, South Sac, and wait for someone to approach me with a bike for sale. Like, that's how I'm like, normally, you just walk around, you're like, so see some crackhead riding around with a bike, and he's like, you know, I always love seeing a dude bike around, and he's holding, like, a second bike.
Yes.
Like, he's like, biking around, holding a second bike, and you're just like, hey, dude, how much you offer that? 20-30 bucks, no problem.
Well, I love that, and having multiple tires on.
Oh yeah, just all kinds of wheels.
Yeah. If you wait like once a year, UC Davis does a auction for all of the bikes that they
have. Yeah, all the bikes they have to saw off
or I should say the Davis police off.
Yeah, all the bikes to get locked up somewhere and whatnot, and they had to come by and saw it off of a post or something like that because someone forgot their key, and they just have a stack of bikes they auction off out there. So.
Yeah. Well, my girlfriend had a road bike, and I wanted to get a bike that I could ride, so we could just go and ride, because my cruiser bike, which I love, that I got from Midtown Cruiser Shop, check them out if you want a cruiser bike, because they have some of the sickest ones, not just like the standard, oh, it's the cruiser bike like everybody else has. But I can't keep up with a road bike. Even with three gears of shifting, I can't. So I decided it was time to get a road-type bike, and yeah, I did not drop $5,000 on it, though. Significantly less. Take off a zero.
Good, good, good. So, yeah, go out and ride out to Folsom Lake or something and back. And
yeah, you know, something like that. I mean, the idea is to be able to, like, get up, ride to Davis, maybe go to Sudwerk, have some beers. Ride somewhere where there's a brewery is really kind of my deal. Brunch in a brewery.
As long as you don't start turning into one of those guys that wears spandex.
No. Here's my rule for spandex. Spandex is fine if there's another layer on top of it. Spandex should never be the outer layer if you're a guy. Unless you're in the Olympics.
I concur.
Yeah, it's interesting. Sitting here, you see people cruising through Midtown like they are...
Lance Armstrong.
Like, yeah, are you trying to shave off some time off of your record or something, dude? What are you doing?
Right, and it's 60-year-old guys. They do not have a single dark hair anywhere on their body.
They all have cool beer-branded jerseys that they wear, too. They're like, oh, this is my Deschutes brand.
they've got the little mirror.
Bike jersey.
They've got the rearview mirror going off of their helmet because they can't turn their head and look.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
No.
Yeah, I don't get it. It's pretty goofy, but whatever.
Yeah, I just wanted a bike that I could ride and keep up with a road bike. So
that's good.
Yeah, it's
nice weather, man. You should be out there riding.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. And as we go through, it's like, well, we want to do when the weekend hits and you want to do something. It's like, what do you want to do? I don't know. Why don't we do this? Well, how much is that going to cost? Well, how much is this going to be? I don't know if I want to do that. Well, we should do something active. We should do get the bikes and go.
Yeah.
So that's the plan, and yeah, the dudes at Mike's Bikes were really, really cool. I love the fact that you can ride the bike inside the store, and they'll let you. And if you leave your ID and a credit card, they'll let you ride it outside the store too. They're like, yeah, go have fun. Like I went out and went around and like rode up a few levels of the parking garage, just to test the shifting on the bike. It was like I was doing my Kevin Bacon and Quicksilver impression.
Well, that's good. So you rode back down just. Hold ass through the parking garage.
Yeah, up the ramps of the parking garage, down the parking garage, back around the block. When I rode the bike that I ended up getting, it was around the time people were getting out of work, so I couldn't go up the parking garage because it would have been killed. So I went to one of the half-empty parking lots and just did slaloms around the cars that were left. Just, like, used them for cones. So it was cool.
No, right on.
Yeah. So, yeah, we got that. Let's see. Weekend is upon us. Any big happenings happening for?
No, not so. Actually, it's kind of nice that not much going on. Now the football season's over. It's kind of.
Oh, it's the combine is this weekend.
Is it already?
Yeah.
Jesus.
So I'll be paying attention to that.
Yeah, pitchers and catchers started reporting for spring training, too.
NFL combine's already?
Yeah.
Speaking of Black History, speaking of Black History Month,
yeah, the draft keeps getting pushed later and later. I don't understand why the combine is earlier.
Well, no, it's the combine is when it's normally.
I thought it was usually in March.
No, it's usually in February.
Well, the draft used to be in April. Now it's in May.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. March is when free agents and trades can start happening. And it's kind of sad. Like this is how you know how much football dominates sports where we're like talking about the off season happenings and we all kind of know when it goes down and stuff. It's like, yeah, the other sports, who cares? Like, let's talk about the football off season.
Yeah. See, I'm a little bit different. I shut down on football from the end of the Super Bowl until opening week. I don't even care about spring training. I mean, like I'll pay attention to what my team does. Like the 49ers essentially sacked their coach and, we'll see who comes back in terms of players, but different head coach, different staff, and whatever.
Kind of frees up weekends, though. Like, you know, now that there's no football on, it's like, oh, my weekends, I don't have to worry about, like, a Bears game going on or, you know, a playoff game or something. So it's kind of opens it up so I can go out and do something else. If it's still, like, 70 degrees or something, I go out kayaking or something.
Yeah, coming from the Northeast, at this time of year, I'd be like, oh, pitchers and catchers are going to report. It'd be like that hope of spring. So, like, if you're in Boston and there's 8 feet of snow around you everywhere, which there is literally 8 to 10 feet of snow around you if you're in Boston, and you're like, oh, pitchers and catchers report for spring training. It's going to be spring soon. Don't really have that here, but I'm stoked because I love hockey. Hockey season is ramping up into the playoff push. I'm going to see Montreal play in San Jose on the 2nd. So
San Jose has no chance of making the playoffs, do they? Do they have any chance?
They usually do make the playoffs, and they usually bow out early.
Okay.
That's usually what happens. I'm a Montreal fan, so it matters not. It's just my one chance to see them without going to L.A.
It seems like every time I look at the scores lately, it seems like San Jose is losing, so...
Yeah, but it's still like the NBA. Everybody makes the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
So it's one of those things. Major League Soccer is coming back. They'll be starting in March. So it's a weird dead time in sports, but unless you're into the NBA or NHL, it's all preseason, just getting going stuff. And
I like college basketball.
And March Madness,
so we'll get
yeah.
ready for March Madness.
Yeah, if you're into the brackets.
Most gambled upon sporting events in America.
Indeed. Indeed. All right. Well, we talked about Valentine's Day last show. Well, a couple near San Diego, they were essentially on their first date. In fact, this was their first encounter ever, and things got a little heated.
Employees and customers of a Chula Vista dress shop got quite an eyeful. They witnessed a man and woman brazenly making out right outside of the store. An employee at the shop recorded the incident as the two openly got, down and dirty yesterday afternoon. And they didn't seem to care that they were surrounded by people in the middle of a strip mall. Well, the employee says then the man stripped off all his clothes and the woman, she kept only her skirt on.
Hey now.
16, 17, 18-year-old girls here to shop for prom and got the shock of their life.
Yeah, I'll say they gave the new meaning to strip mall. The employee called police who arrested the man and gave the woman a citation. The officers say the two had apparently just met and didn't even know each other's names.
What? That's the best kind. That's the best kind of sex. That's the hottest kind of sex. We're just like that chemical reaction, just look at some, oh, I don't even know your name, but I want to get you naked in the strip mall.
Right, out in front. Christy Peterson, who was a witness, said her legs were in the air and the guy was on top. We were so shocked, our mouths were just open.
Oh, her mouth was open.
That's kind of how that happens.
Bring it on over.
Legs in the air.
That's what happens. And all the girls shopping for your prom dress, that's your first lesson.
There you go.
That's how you do it. Not everybody's jacking it in San Diego. Some people are just getting it on for you know, whatever.
Yeah, cocaine's a hell of a drug.
It is. And, you know, you're riding the trolley, the vibration, everything's exciting. All right. So, you know, love and hate aren't they're actually pretty close because they are passions that you
Some
have.
Some people said it is a thin line.
There is. So, will Karl Malone and Kobe Bryant be making sweet love to each other?
I hope not.
Maybe not.
I hope Karl Malone punches him.
That might happen.
How about
happen.
Kobe? Y'all cool?
Absolutely.
Y'all had a beat. Y'all had a little issue
yeah,
back
we,
there.
We had a little issue, but here's the thing about it. I'm a grown man, right?
Yeah.
Kobe's a grown man, too.
Yeah.
That's how mans do it. If you go the other
mans.
Route, you kind of go down.
That's how mans do it.
That's how...
I love the Jimmy Kimmel impression of Karl Malone. Karl Malone love Beanie Babies.
In my book a little bit. Now, are we cool? I don't hold grudges. But now...
I mean, because he went very public. I mean, the issue was...
Yeah, but here's what I say to you. To anybody. Because people have beef with you.
Yeah.
If Kobe don't like me today, that's Kobe Bryant's fault. It ain't mine or his problem.
Yeah.
I don't have a beef with nobody. Because... I come in peace, but I do prepare for war if I have to. And
like an
I absolutely think yeah. Kobe, one of the best athletes, competitor I've ever seen. Shaq is awesome. Derek Fisher, other than probably John Stockton and Jeff Hornacek,
mm-hmm.
they are the most he's the most professional athlete that I was ever around. Mm-hmm. But Kobe and I, you ask him that question. Here's what I tell you. I don't have a beef with him.
Have you spoken to him since you left the Lakers?
What's up?
That wasn't no big Rick Fox hug.
Hey, no. Look, you walking down this hall, I'm walking down this hall. I know what you said about me.
Yeah.
what up? That's it. Yeah. Meaning, what up now? However way you want to go with that, but what up?
So the,
I acknowledge you, but no. The hugging and all that.
Did you feel? Do you feel tension when you see him?
I don't feel tension, but you got to understand, Mark, I'm a hunter. So I'm already right
Karl
there.
Karl Malone's like twice the size of Kobe Bryant. Karl Malone would have no problem stomping on Kobe Bryant.
It's not him being twice size. Karl Malone is a big old country boy.
Yeah, he's a big old. He do drive semi trucks and rides motorcycles. Like Kobe Bryant grew up in Italy.
What Kobe Bryant like, did deserves a big country boy ass whooping, stomping.
He didn't go get guns or knives. Yeah, here's the other thing. Karl Malone's just a little bit crazy.
Yeah, I said he's a big old country boy.
And let's just knuckle up. So, get it over
with. Did you ever make that offer to Kobe?
No, but it's standing with anybody.
He understands. He understands that.
No, it's a standing. Oh. Look, I don't want no trouble.
No, I understand that. I mean, did he ever say that to you? Because he was very upset. He said you said this, I'm inappropriate with his wife. He was mad. I always thought it was going to come to blow. Has Kobe ever said anything to you? Did he ever come to you in a way that made you think he wanted to fight?
Yeah, not really, but hey, you know, here's what I'll say to you. I don't have a problem. And people say whatever they want to say, and that's great. I'm 6'9", 272, to be exact. I'm not hard to find. I don't want no trouble. But when if something got to go down, I'm not playing fair. We got to get down now. We got to get down. I'm just telling you. Right?
I understand.
Can anybody imagine Kobe Bryant getting into a fight? Like, just like, not winning a fight, but just even getting into a fight.
He got into a fight with Samaki Walker.
Well, here's the thing. NBA
basketball fight, first of all.
NBA players fighting is almost as hilarious as women fighting.
It's pretty awesome.
It's very close.
A lot of really wide punches.
Long arms and big slapping motions and stuff.
Yeah. Is that Kobe's, Karl Malone would beat the dog shit out of him.
Here's the thing. The only hope Kobe would have is if he were able to be that much faster, because if Karl Malone actually gets hold of him, he would squeeze the stuffing out of him.
Yeah, it's a wrap.
Well, Karl Malone's the kind of dude that, like, he's the kind of dude that you don't want to fuck with because he doesn't have to do CrossFit. CrossFit is just what he does for fun. He's just like, I just go out and chop like a cord of wood a day.
CrossFit,
like,
CrossFit does him.
Yeah, he's just like, I just go out and, you know, change the tires on my semi truck.
He's like, you white people saw me outside working and y'all decided y'all wanted to make this a sport.
So there's a standing offer for Kobe Bryant if he wants to.
Oh, he doesn't want to. Trust me. He does not want to.
It's not worth it. Some parents in a Pennsylvania school district are turning 50 Shades of Red over word search puzzles given to their middle school students based on the novel and movie 50 Shades of Grey. The puzzles contain terms including spanking, submissive, leather cuffs, and bondage. Officials in the school district say they can't say who passed out the puzzles or how many students received one because they just learned about it. Parents complained about it at the Tuesday night school board meeting. The superintendent said the incident was under investigation. A parent, James Carter, says he tried to question the school's principal and dean of students about the puzzle that his son received, but they refused when he insisted on recording their conversation.
Oh, I love the super angry and indignant parents that are like, how did my kid learn about leather cuffs? Oh my God.
I'm going to be recording you.
I'm going to record your response about this now. Fuck, dude, seriously, get the fuck out of here. Like, if it said ass fucking or like something ridiculous in that word search, I can understand that, but come on, bondage and leather cuffs. Your child is not permanently scarred. Get over it.
Well, yeah, I mean, when you've kept little Johnny in a cocoon for a while.
If anybody gonna teach little Becky about bondage and
if anyone's tying my daughter up, it's going to be me.
That's what we did at the father-daughter dance.
I gave her that promise ring.
My child can't learn these terms at school. We don't have the internet in my house. Oh, wait, we do.
Because then she can tell y'all what I did to her.
A lot of the people in Europe are like, hey, our 12-year-olds can watch your sissy-ass movie. And we're just like, oh, my God, it shows a nipple. Ah.
Yeah, and in France, 12-year-olds were able to see 50 Shades of Grey. Although, now my girlfriend saw it and she liked it. what I've heard from most people is that it was not a good movie. And if you look at the Rotten Tomatoes scores, that will back that up.
Well, so, the whole thing was, it was weird that it was fan fiction.
For Twilight.
For Twilight. This chick was like, what if the people in Twilight weren't vampires and they were adults? And, you know, how would this dynamic, you know, go down? There's the nice guy. There's the, you know, the controlling dude, what's going to happen? Let me write a shitty piece of fiction about it.
Yeah, it was 50 Shades of Pimpin' and Hoeing. I'll say that every time because that's exactly what that was.
When it's a, you know, it was a woman that wrote the book, and that was essentially she just wanted to see.
She wants to be a hoe.
Well, I think it's kind of the dynamic of.
Dude,
what?
That is the dynamic of a pimp and a hoe.
Well, that's what the dynamic of what all women want is the nice guy, the bad boy. You know what I mean? That's the whole thing. That's the whole stupid, you know, Twilight thing. The nice guy and the bad boy. Same thing with this stupid book.
He turned her out the same way that a pimp would turn out a hoe.
I don't know if he made money off her, but
I didn't read the book, so yeah, I don't know. But.
Look, that's the fantasy part of it, is that he didn't make money off of
her. Well, I think the fantasy part is, you know, he took control. He took control, and he was like, this is what we're going to do, and she was
The fantasy part is he didn't make money off her. In the real world, that would have been a hoe.
Yeah, I don't know about that, dude. I think a lot of I think a lot of women like it when a dude says, "Hey, this is what I'm into. We're gonna do this," and they're like, "All right, cool." Instead of like, "What is it okay if I touch you here? What are we gonna do tonight? Is it okay? I think a lot of women like it when a dude takes control. This is where we're going to eat. This is what we're doing tonight. This is what we're going to watch.
Yeah,
this is how we're going to have sex.
Being decisive about things.
You know, and so I think that was, I think that's kind of the thing about that. I'm a dude that's in control, you know, and so.
Kareem, is the reason that you can't understand this because, and I will borrow a question for Larry Wilmore. Are black women just too bossy?
No, No, it's not because black.
My ex-girlfriend's black, so yeah, no, she was not too bossy.
No, I'm just saying that was a question that came up on the Nightly Show with Larry Moore.
Yeah.
And nobody wanted to answer it.
Yeah.
And they apparently got a lot of angry email.
But yeah, like I said, that movie is just like Pretty Woman.
I don't know about that. Yeah, I think it's totally different, man.
No, it's not different. That's what it was.
I think it's women were essentially, you know, across the country reading some stupid book about, hey, maybe we could have sex other than just missionary when my husband does it once a month. I think, you know, a lot of women were like, hey, you know, I'd like a dude that, you know, does a little something kinky and, you know, has a little wild side and, you know, tells me what to do.
To fantasize about it. And then when you
shows up.
Yeah, no, we're not doing that. It's a nice fantasy.
That might be true.
Yeah, it's a nice fantasy.
Well,
I think
it depends on how you present it.
Yeah.
One of the things I heard about the movie is there's a long scene where they're going over the contract of what he can do and can't do and what she'll let him do and what she won't let him do. Because if there's anything that's really exciting and erotic, it's a contract negotiation.
Oh, yes. Exactly. Yes, that's always it.
You go through enough of a contract negotiation just trying to get some period. Nevertheless, trying to make it like we're going to do all this crazy shit.
Well, and to get it signed. Although in college now, apparently you have to do that. So, speaking of college, University of Michigan has an inclusive language campaign. They've got a banned words list that sparked now a free speech debate. Here are some of the phrases and words that you are not allowed to use because of the inclusive language ban. I want to die. These words carelessly diminish the experience of people who have attempted or committed suicide. It can make survivors feel silenced by implying that self-harm is laughable or not a real problem, which many people struggle.
You should never ask someone one of that hypothetical question of what's the record you would want if you were on a deserted island? Because it diminishes the experience of people that were actually on a deserted island.
Of Gilligan, yes. Another phrase, that's so gay. It allegedly perpetuates homophobia by implying that individuals who do not identify as heterosexual or straight are abnormal, wrong, or aberrant. The phrase is offensive toward people who identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, queer, transgender, or gender nonconforming.
I better know who came up with that. Some fags.
Well, here's the thing.
Exactly.
And I have zero problem with people who are gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. I've had a gay male co-host. I have a lesbian co-host who's here when she doesn't have more important things to do. I have another, but the sheer percentage of people who identify as non-straight is so small that if you're speaking statistically, it actually is not normal.
Well, and I would just say that it's the give and take of language, right? Like, if you want to, you know, if you want the word marriage, we'll give you the word marriage. Just let us use the word gay when we talk about stupid shit. Like, if that's okay, because we've been saying it since we were like, you know, 8 or 9 years old. And now 20 years later, you want us to say, oh, stop saying gay in a derogatory way. It's like, dude, I've been saying gay in a derogatory way.
It's like, yeah, and it's not usually about people who are gay. It's about something else.
I love the look on people's faces at work whenever they say, I feel like I got gypped. Like, I hear people say that at work now and then.
That is actually on this list.
Oh, my God. I love that, because then I will be like.
Yeah, but you don't even know that is a Jewish term.
Oh, no. It's a gypsy. And I was like, yes, my family is of gypsy descent, and I am highly. And people's faces when you say that shit, they're like, oh, my God, is this dude serious? Like, yeah. Is his family actually of gypsy descent? And I laugh, you know, about it afterwards, because gypsies are, you know, crazy, evil people who will steal your soul and your money.
Well, that's why Cher put them in the song with Tramps and Thieves.
Yes.
So Gypped and Jude is on there because the words perpetuate racism by implying the individuals of certain ethnic groups are dishonest, fraudulent, or cheaters. They're offensive toward people who identify as Romani or Jewish. Other phrases you can't use, that's retarded. Because...
That's retarded.
Yeah.
That's a retarded rule.
The problem with that one is... It's just because there have become so many more people who have kids who are autistic.
Yeah.
And and here's the thing. They take that very personally.
I just go with, that's so mongoloid. That's so mongoloid.
You throw back. You do the throwback. So I've actually stopped for the most part saying it. And when I hear, and I'm sort of in a supervisory role at work. So I hear people say it and I go, I don't know if that's the term I'd choose, but. You know,
if you say it with a Boston accent, it's much better.
Wicked retarded.
You're fucking retarded.
You are fucking
that
wicked.
Is retarded.
You are wicked retarded.
That sounds way less harsh than like retarded.
It's true. You also cannot say tranny.
It's the hard R. It's the hard R rule, right?
You cannot say tranny either unless you're talking about a transmission, because the word perpetuates transphobia by implying the...
Does anybody say tranny just in random like slang speak? Have you ever been like, give me one of those tranny beers? Or like, who's ever said like, tranny piece of slang have you ever...
I've only seen it in categories of porn.
Yeah, like who's like referring to just... Who is like just using tranny in... Common
the only like I was in a smaller town, and I know that there were people there was like one or two people who were transgendered. I don't know if they cross-dressed or they're just transgendered, but they use the term shim, which I'm like, really? That's worse. It just sounds really weird, because just I don't know if it was just the way they said it, but either way. And the other
I used the word shman.
I don't know if that's okay either. And finally...
Hey, I created it. I can say it, damn it.
At the University of Michigan, you're not allowed to say, that test raped me. Because the phrase carelessly diminishes the experience of survivors of sexual violence. It can make survivors feel silenced by implying that sexual violence is laughable or not a serious issue in society. The phrase is often offensive toward people who are survivors of sexual violence. So those are the six that you are not allowed
college
to say.
College is so fun these days.
That's at the University of Michigan. Now, here, Lake Superior State University is celebrating their 40th anniversary of their list of banished words. But they take a little different take on it. For 40 years now, Lake Superior State University has banned words that they consider just sort of worn out or... They're words that bother people that need to stop. So this year's list includes bae.
Thank God.
Right. Meaning before anyone else.
I hope bruh is on there too.
How stupid. Stop calling your boyfriend bae. It's over years. I heard someone refer to their ramen noodles as bae. If I was putting someone before anything else, I would respect them enough to use their name. And ramen noodles would not be it. Polar vortex made the list. I guess that would make sense if you're in Michigan, because it was cold. Hack has been banned. I think that's a good one. Anybody who's done stand up around Sacramento has heard the term hack a little too much. And
it was really fitting last week. It was good God. If I have to hear another woman talk about how she likes sex, oh, how wacky and wild! I would have never guessed.
Right. I don't like sex. No, women like sex, too.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I'm so wacky. I'm slutty. Ooh. Chelsea Handler, thank you. I've fucking heard it like 82 times now.
Also on their ban word list, skill set. Why use two words when one will do? We have a perfectly good word, such as skills.
That's true.
If you end it with an S, not with a Z. Swag got nominated as...
That's long overdue.
Mm-hmm. The word foodie. Now they're starting to go after the hipsters. So foodie got in there, as did curate or curated. Here's one I hadn't heard. Friend raising.
I haven't heard that either. Like fundraising through your friends, I'm guessing.
It's a word that suggests we develop relationships not for the simple value of the person we call friend, but for the pleasure of being a community of people and for the simple joys of sharing bonds of affection and common care, but that we instead develop relationships out of some sort of expectation.
I'm sorry, I fell asleep halfway through
that explanation. Of monetary reward.
Dear God, like how long is that explanation?
It's a long one. Also ban cray cray.
Yeah, that's a good one. Any
that should be banned.
Any of those shortened sorority girl type things, cray, I don't know, the totes, any of those like just shortened words have multiple syllables for a reason. Just use all the syllables. That's
sure.
Okay.
Doesn't take that much longer. Enhanced interrogation made the list.
Why did that make the list?
It just did. As did takeaway.
Because it's called torture. We already have a word for it. It's called torture. It's not enhanced interrogation.
Yeah. That's exactly what it says. So takeaway as in, what's your takeaway from this list, Kareem? Nation as a suffix, like Red Sox Nation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. By the way, I hate to say this. There's only one sports nation. It's Raider Nation. And as much as I don't like to give credit, Raider Nation was the very first sports fan base that referred to itself as sports team name and nation.
It referred to itself or referred to them? Like we identified them as people for potential deportation.
Yeah, but well before Red Sox Nation, and I hear it all over the place. And thank God I've yet to hear it about the Angels or the 49ers or any of the teams that I hold dear to my heart. Thankfully, I've not heard that yet, because if I did, I don't know what I would do because I hate it that much. But yeah, Red Sox Nation, stop it. Yankee Nation, stop it. There's one. It's Raider Nation. That's it. They're the only ones I'll give them. They're grandfathered in.
Well, just God bless them if they're still rooting for the Raiders at this point. Just you guys have held on to more hope than anyone surely should, because that team is just terrible.
They've had a rough go of it.
It's terrible.
Is what we'll say. So on Sunday night, Saturday Night Live did their 40th anniversary show. I did not watch. Did either of you guys watch?
No.
You didn't watch all three and a half hours?
I watched 10 minutes of it.
I figured the internet would tell me all about it, and it did. here's what the internet said. It was really good. No, it wasn't. Okay. So I saved 3.5 hours.
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, anytime you celebrate yourself, that's always a tough one, right? Like, really hard for, you know, NBC to be like, hey, we're awesome, we created this awesome show, we're going to celebrate it.
And we're going to have Melissa McCarthy play Chris Farley.
Yeah.
I was like,
God. I've seen enough of her to last me a lifetime, and the fact that she's now going to be in the new Ghostbusters, allegedly, is...
Oh, it's not allegedly. It's pretty much a done deal.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm over it.
I don't care how many sinks she shits in. I'm done.
Yeah, I do not find her humorous, you know, and it's kind of sad that some of the funniest women are not even, you know, in the mentioning of the funniest women. It's just the kind of, like we said earlier, hacks. The hacky folks. I'm wacky fat lady. I'm the chick who talks about sex. It's,
All right. But that's what America, this is the analogy. Only a few people appreciate the finer parts of certain things. So there are only a few people that really are into jazz or...
That's what I keep telling the women. There's only a few women that can enjoy the finer parts of me.
Yes.
This is true.
Yes. But there are only a few people that are like purists for everything.
Sure.
And then there's everybody else.
Yeah.
So the companies and everybody else cater to everybody else. They don't give a fuck about the sanctity of it or the purity of it, or you know,
can I sell it?
The art of it is, can I sell it? The Dallas Cowboys have been an 8-8 team for the last, well, not this year, but for like 12 years. They didn't make the playoffs, and they are the highest revenue team in sports.
Yeah. Because you can sell them.
Because you can sell them.
Yeah, they have a huge stadium, so too. So yeah. Ticket sales.
Biggest screen TV in town. So I have, from Rolling Stone, the 141 cast members of Saturday Night Live ranked.
141?
I'm not going to go through all of them.
Who's the last? I want to know who were the last, like, three? Who were the bottom of the barrel?
All right. Number 141. He did better after he left Saturday Night Live. Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, wow. I didn't.
He was ranked as the worst cast member.
Wow. I didn't even think of him as a cast member.
85 to 86. Yeah, pretty much. It was not a good time for Saturday Night Live. And he did not do well on it.
Hey, you know, Saturday Night Live's tough if you're on heroin. You know, like high-speed comedy is tough when you're on heroin.
I don't know if he was at that point, but he did not have a good time on there. Number 140, The Muppets.
The Muppets? They're putting The Muppets as one of the worst?
They were first-season cast members, but not the funny Muppets, the dark and grumpy version, starring a lizard named Scred. Jim Henson hated the I'm Scred and You're Not gags, so he left to start The Muppet Show.
Yeah, well, hey, something great was born out of it.
Sure. 139, Jim Brewer. The only funny thing Jim Brewer ever did was Goat Boy.
Yeah, I'm like, hi, guys. I'm like, I look like I'm high, but I don't smoke weed. This is my favorite part.
the one memorable character he did was Goat Boy, and hey, remember the 80s. So I'll give him that, but 139, 138, Victoria Jackson.
I would agree with that one.
Yep. Gilbert Gottfried was 137.
Victoria Jackson got fucking, how many SNL people got just straight batshit crazy afterwards?
A lot of them.
There's a lot of just straight crazy ass people that came out of SNL now. We should have like a top, we should make our top crazy ass people out of SNL list.
We'll work on that. But Gilbert Gottfried is 137. I didn't even know he was on there. He was super young. He was like 1980-81. Colin Quinn then made the list. He was on for 5 years.
He should not be one of the worst because I actually like Colin Quinn.
He did a good job at Weekend.
I disagree with this too. Norm MacDonald was 135.
I disagree with that as well. Subliminal Man was great.
Mm-hmm. Randy Quaid, 134. Randy Quaid was terrible on Saturday Night Live.
Who else has gone batshit crazy, by the way? Like, this is an excellent list of people who are just fucking facing like mental breakdowns.
So those are the bottom of the barrel list. Let's go through the quick top 40. Julia Louis-Dreyfus, by the way, number 45 on the list.
Yeah, no, I disagree with that as well. I can't think of a single funny character that Julia Louis-Dreyfus played on SNL.
Yeah, I would have put her lower. She's really good in Veep, and she was good in Seinfeld, obviously. Yeah, but yeah. Rob Schneider, 44, he should have been much lower, making copies. Vanessa Bayer, who's currently on the cast, is number 43.
How?
Yeah.
I think it's just on potential.
Yeah.
I don't know. Don Novello, number 42. Father Guido Sarducci.
Wow, that's way too high.
Taron Killam, who is currently on the show, number 41. And now to the top 40, Molly Shannon, number 40.
Okay.
Cecily Strong is 39. She's on the show right now.
Yeah.
Don Pardo, the announcer, got 38. I don't know why he's even on this list.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Kate McKinnon, who's on the show right now, got 37. You would think this is the funniest fucking show ever with all of these current cast members in the top 50.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This is interesting. There's not a single lame person on the show right now.
Jimmy Fallon, number 36.
Oh, NBC loves Jimmy Fallon.
They do. Yeah.
They really love him.
Well, this is a Rolling Stone list. Chris Parnell, number 35. He's done a lot of things since then. I think his biggest thing, he did Dick in a Box with Timberlake.
Yeah, yeah.
Dennis Miller, number 34.
White guy's doing hip-hop. If I've seen another white guy doing hip-hop song, I swear to God, it's not funny. And Dennis Miller, by the way, batshit crazy. as well. So they all, like, there's enough people on this list who have gone totally crazy.
Interestingly enough, Dennis Miller just started doing a podcast with Adam Carolla called the PO'd Cast, where the idea is that they both, like, complain about
angry
things.
Angry white guy things. Oh, I'm so... Oh, don't you hate it when your Tesla doesn't
it's actually funny.
Get serviced in time?
It's actually funnier than it sounds, but it's not for everybody.
Basically anyone under 40 and not white.
Let's see. Anna Gasteyer came in at number 33. She was in the Sweaty Balls sketch. She played Martha Stewart naked for the holidays.
Yeah.
Here's one who should have been much lower. Tim Kazurinsky at 32.
Who?
Yeah. He was early 80s, really short guy. His best known bit was he had the cards that did puns on Weekend Update.
Yeah.
Yeah. 29 through 31, Martin Short, Billy Crystal, and Christopher Guest. I don't know why they lumped them together. Seth Meyers at 28. I don't know.
You're telling me better than Martin Short? You're telling me Seth Meyers is better than Martin Short?
And that's, Billy Crystal.
No, not even.
And Billy Crystal.
Not even close.
Then
Billy Crystal's only on for like 2 years. So, that, I mean, that's... But Martin Short was on for quite a while and had a ton of hilarious characters.
David Spade at 27. Jan Hooks at 26. The late Jan Hooks. I think she's a little too high. Jason Sudeikis at 25. I'll give that to him. Lorraine Newman at 24. She's a little higher than you'd think just because she's one of the first cast members.
Yeah, I think they give a lot of credit to the early folks.
And the ones that are on now.
Well, and if you watch the early show, the early show was only like an hour long, right? And it had two songs as well.
Well, they have two songs now, too.
And so what I'm saying is, like, you know, so it was an hour show plus two songs. So now you're only coming up with what, you know, 30 really, you know, maybe less than 30 minutes of content because commercials and whatnot. So it's like, you know, to fill that up, all right, I get it. And they're like, you know, they put a bunch of stuff out like, oh, you know, Eddie Murphy was only 18 years old and blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, the bar was a lot lower back then. How many people were actually auditioning for SNL back in 1980?
I don't know. Eddie Murphy shit stands the test of time.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like,
and it's way better than the bullshit that they're putting.
I'm just saying, if it was today, there's enough people auditioning where a 18-year-old Eddie Murphy would never get on the show.
Well, the 18-year-old Eddie Murphy is better than all the shit that they have on the show.
Oh yeah,
now.
And that's a problem.
So somehow
now everyone has to go through, like, you know, like 18 workshops at the Groundlings, plus like 14 workshops at Second City, plus, like, you know.
Somehow Michael Che got on SNL. I don't know. He's the co-host of Weekend Update.
That's because they had to.
They had a bidding war back and forth with The Daily Show, and I will never understand it. He cannot read a teleprompter. He may be funny as fuck as a stand-up, but on TV, he is just terrible. Fred Armisen is 23rd.
And I concur.
Andy Samberg, 22. Chris Rock, 21.
Ooh, Chris for Rock. A cast member?
Yeah.
No, Chris Rock had a whole joke about how he wasn't on any damn scenes for he hadn't been on a scene for like a year.
Yeah. Right. And that's the thing. He's way too high.
Him and Tim Meadows. Like, I love Tim Meadows, and Tim Meadows made his way into there and, like, really forced his way onto the show.
Well, Tim Meadows was on for 38 of the 40 years, I believe.
Yeah. I mean, Tim Meadows, like, forced his way onto it and essentially forced his way into, but, like, he too, like, it was hard for, you know, for him to get into scenes and had running gags about it.
He had the ladies' man. Al Franken at number 20, way too high.
Yeah.
Way too high. John Lovitz, number 19. Maya Rudolph, number 18. She was okay in sketches. I just didn't think she was that funny.
Yeah.
You know who I think should be number one in my heart?
Who?
Phil Hartman.
Oh.
We'll get there. Adam Sandler comes in at number 17.
Whoopity-doo.
Exactly. Yeah, Opera Man and the Hanukkah song got him up there. Here's the one who's this is the person who is far too high for anybody. Number 16, Rachel Dratch. Rachel Dratch. Other than Debbie Downer.
Yeah.
Which is finding out that Rachel.
But she has been on there a long time. She was the uncomfortable was couple. Everywhere. Who's like the swinger couple that's like, we made love under the full moon of a. Yeah, yeah, that thing's like all kind of. Yeah.
That's still tough. Chris Farley, 15.
Okay.
So now we're in the top 15. Kristen Wiig, number 14. I don't love her like a lot of other people love her.
I don't either.
Bill Hader, number 13.
Pretty funny. Pretty funny dude.
I agree. I think he's very funny.
His Muppet like thing was one of the funniest damn SNL skits I've ever seen. His like Vietnam flashback Muppet.
Oh, well, that, and he did the Keith. He did Keith Morrison from Dateline.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Oh, tell me about it. I mean, that was fucking brilliant. Will Ferrell, number 12.
His USA Speedos was one of my favorite scenes.
Dana Carvey, number 11.
Yep. Church lady. Yeah.
Now we're to the top 10. Chevy Chase.
He's like, you know, clumsy Gerald Ford, pratfall, wackiness. But he was, once again, only on for how long?
He was on for...
Two seasons. Yeah, two seasons. Come on. That's not enough to put you in the top 10.
He got the kick started off.
So he came in at number 10. Let me see if I find this. There is... Where was... Oh, yeah. Here we go. Oh, there it is. No, hold on. Found this article... Speaking of Chevy, he's not Chevy. He's an asshole. A history of Chevy Chase's horrific behavior.
Yeah, once again, another dude who went batshit crazy.
Oh, but he did it on the show. Like Bill Murray is famously told Tom Shales for the book about Saturday Night Live. When you become famous, you've got like a year or two when you act like a real asshole. You can't help yourself. It happens to everybody. You get like 2 years to pull it together, or it's permanent. Apparently, Chevy Chase, it's permanent because they go through and there's a Gawker thing and it talks about all the people he pissed off. SNL season one pissed off John Belushi, Al Franken, Lorraine Newman, Gilda Radner, and the whole writing staff. He also pissed off Johnny Carson that year because Carson once said Chevy couldn't ad lib a fart after a baked bean dinner. That's when Chevy dismissed chatter that he could be the next Carson by telling New York, I'd never be tied down for 5 years interviewing TV personalities. Of course, then he had a failed TV show. He pissed off Lauren Michaels. After SNL, he pissed off Jacqueline Carlin, who he was married to. He pissed off Jane Curtin. He pissed off Bill Murray, Terry Sweeney, Robert Downey Jr., John Lovitz, and the cast of the 85-86 season. On the Chevy Chase show, he pissed off, well, America, and Howard Stern.
Well, thank God he and Randy Quaid are still tight.
That's true.
I'm just glad he hasn't pissed off Randy.
He's pissed off Will Ferrell in the cast of the 96-97 season. He pissed off Bill Maher and NYPD Blue creator Stephen Bochco. He pissed off Kevin Smith. He pissed off Rob Hubel. Who cares? He didn't piss off anybody at his roast. He pissed off Dan Harmon on Community. And he's pissed off the entire Community cast. There's a whole list of Chevy Chase being an asshole. But he ranks number 10 on all-time cast members on SNL. Gilda Radner comes in at number 9. Amy Poehler, number 8.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm thinking that's a little high.
Yeah, I mean, you're putting her above... You know, above what I'm guessing, Al Franken, above
Gilda Radner, know. Chevy Chase, well, Dana yeah. Carvey, Will
above
Ferrell.
Dana Carvey, above even Adam Sandler. You know, what I mean, although I'm not the hugest fan of his songs, he was actually pretty funny on SNL in his skits and whatnot. And I mean, come on. So
Phil Hartman comes in at number 7.
Yeah, Phil Hartman should be number 1.
Hartman
is the funniest man that ever lived, in my opinion.
Bill Murray at number 6.
Yeah, once again, like when you're only on the show for...
77 to 80.
Yeah.
He was the first guy to join after the original cast. So, not that Bill Murray's not funny.
No, it's just, hey, what's your body of work on SNL?
Dan Aykroyd comes in...
Bass-O-Matic 76, I mean, that's classic.
Number 5. Mike Myers, number 4.
Yeah, he has a ton of great ones, man. Dieters and...
Wayne's World.
Yeah, Wayne's World. I mean, that's some classic.
I cannot argue with Mike Myers. Number 3, I will argue with this one a lot, Tina Fey.
Yeah, I am not a huge... I think she's probably an amazing writer. I think that's why she's on there.
I would put her in the top 20. Not at number 3.
I think she's on there for her writing abilities, and she was such a great writer that she became a producer, essentially.
Well, they talk about how she saved Weekend Update.
Yeah.
Number two, Eddie Murphy.
That's another tough one too. It's like, man, that he had a couple great, you know, sketches that he was in, but then again, how many years were you on the show?
Well, here's the thing though, and this was the one thing I watched on YouTube about the 40 years of SNL was Chris Rock bringing out Eddie Murphy. By the way, Eddie Murphy said almost nothing, so that was useless. But what Chris Rock pointed out was Eddie did these sketches one time, and they're sketches that everybody remembers, mm-hmm. and they were just fantastic. I mean, Buckwheat's been assassinated. That whole thing was
well, Buckwheat was a couple different. There was right, that was a ongoing one.
It was ongoing, but Buckwheat getting assassinated was hilarious.
Yeah.
Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood was ongoing as well. There was he was in a few ongoing ones, but
that's not ongoing. That's a classic.
They're classics. I'm just saying he had recurring
No. All of his shit is classic.
And it was the time when there was no Lorne Michaels at SNL.
Yeah.
All of his shit is classic. A lot of those other people, you can't name shit that they did.
I can name a lot of the...
The next biggest star on that cast of SNL was Joe Piscopo.
Yeah, and that was a dark time for SNL. I mean, he definitely... If they're going to talk about saving SNL, you know what I mean? I would point to Eddie Murphy over Tina Fey any day.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, I'm going to say, you know, if your body work, I'd put Mike Myers over Eddie Murphy any day for SNL because Mike Myers came up with probably 50 scenes or sketches that I can, you know, the Gap Girls. Like, there's just a ton that I can come up with.
And number one, John Belushi.
John Belushi, yeah.
Yeah, Belushi was great, man. I mean,
John Belushi ranks higher than he probably would on this list if he were alive. I think he would rank lower. I really do. I think he'd be in the top five. I just think he'd rank lower. I would put Eddie Murphy number one. I would put
Chris
Mike
Farley
Myers number two.
It's tough, you know. You got guys like Chris Farley. You got guys that have had some really iconic characters and died really early. And so I think, some people feel it might raise their star a little bit, but at the same time, those dudes were hilarious.
Well, I mean, here's the question. Do you put more stock in the first cast because no one had done it?
I know that's kind of,
or do you go, listen, they did great, but these guys came along 10 years later, and they took it to another level.
Well, and that's
who's better?
That's kind of my whole argument. It's like the whole Babe Ruth argument. Right? Well, Babe Ruth was a pitcher and a blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, dude, he was also playing when there were no black people in the league, and there was like...
And no Hispanics.
And the population of the U.S. was, a million people or something. And it was like, all right, dude. So it wasn't like your competition was all that. Now you've got worldwide competition. And so, obviously the athletes of today would be much better. So similarly, I think, the comedians, there's so much more competition. That's what I was saying about Eddie Murphy. It's like an 18-year-old Eddie Murphy has no chance of getting on SNL today. Not for the fact that he's not hilarious and not great, but just there's so much stock put into... Did you go to Juilliard, and did you go
again
to these four different, schools? And so...
So you're going back to the... He wouldn't get up there because of what there's...
Because there's such a system-established
Because of the
system-established.
That doesn't matter. What he did was classic. That shit's hilarious.
I think it's hilarious,
that shit would be hilarious 200 years from now. Yeah.
I think all those dudes, I think, and SNL throughout the years, even when people are like,
and none of
like,
the shit that's up there now is.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Almost every other year, people are like, well, this isn't my SNL. This isn't as fun as it used to be. But at the same time, I said that 10 years ago about how it wasn't as funny as it was when I was in high school. But now looking back on the shows 10 years ago, they're pretty fucking funny, man.
That shit was garbage then, too.
Here's the thing. When he was on SNL, he was the funny part of SNL.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was really literally nothing else. And while he was on SNL, he did 48 Hours and he did Trading Places.
Trading Places, yeah.
So he was he became a movie star while he was still on the cast. He just took the summer hiatus and made a couple of really great films.
Yeah.
So I think he very much belongs in the top.
Well, I'm not taking away from it. I'm just saying when we're talking about those early people, for me, I think it's volume. You know what I mean? So if we're talking about volume of hilarious sketches, you'd have to go
I think Mike Myers. I think Mike Myers and Phil Hartman.
Phil Hartman would have
five.
To be, you know, and those have to be in the top two for me, like right there. And so, I don't know.
Who's the guy that did all of the characters? Is it Phil Hartman?
Yes.
Or, yeah. Okay.
Did all the Simpsons characters. Yeah. Did all Phil, that. Phil, he's got great Phil voiceover Hartman, work.
Phil Hartman was phenomenal. He did everything. And he got into comedy late. He was a designer who did.
I would put him at three.
Album covers
on there.
Yeah, yeah. He did one of the Talking Heads album covers or something like that. I read like he had designed a really famous album cover. I was like, holy shit, I had no idea.
Yeah, more than one. He was very well known. That was before he went into comedy. That was what he did. So he got in late, and he was talking. I remember hearing him interviewed, and he's like, "Well, you talk about all the kids on SNL." He goes,
"No, that's not who I'm thinking of, though." Is another guy.
Okay.
Just to finish the Phil Hartman thing, he goes, I'm talking about the kids on SNL now. You know, this is when he was still on. He goes, listen, I'm the same age as John Belushi would be. I'm 2 years younger than Dan Aykroyd. I'm a contemporary of the first cast. I just got here a lot later.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that makes him even more amazing that he was able to do that.
I think his character work was great. There was never an easy pattern or, you know, pigeonhole that you
Daryl
could put him
Hammond,
into.
That's who I'm thinking of.
Oh, yeah,
of.
Daryl Hammond's.
He should be in the top five.
Daryl Hammond's pretty hilarious,
no,
too.
I'm not talking about top five.
Daryl Hammond's pretty hilarious.
No. He should be in the top 10.
He's the new announcer for SNL.
Yeah.
He replaced Don Pardo.
I'm just thinking about all of the different people that he played over the
years.
There's
been a ton of people. Like, there's been that cast is so deep, man. They've created so many movie stars out of SNL, man. It's crazy.
A lot of that shit is.
There's been so many.
A lot of that shit's been processed.
Well, there's been so many pretenders and contenders that have come. You know, Mad TV and A Living Color and all these other ones that have come and been great at the time, but then they've, you know, kind of faded away, and SNL's the only one that's really...
SNL should have faded away.
That's the only one that's really stayed the test of time. They've been able to...
Come on now. It hasn't stood the test of time. NBC just hasn't found shit to replace it with.
Yeah, it's got its ups and downs, but you know what?
NBC has not found shit to replace it with.
We'll still talk
that
about
that shit. That shit should have died 20 years ago.
20 years ago, we were, you know, 20 years ago, I was watching it. It was still hilarious. Mike Myers was on there 20 years ago.
It has overrun. It has overstayed its run. NBC just hasn't put any money or time into anything else.
No, I think, you know, sketch comedy will always be out there. It'll always be.
I'm not saying it wouldn't be.
It's cheap to produce. It's a known franchise. And it fills 90 minutes of time, and it makes up a ton of money on the back end. And the way they use it, if you read the book about Saturday Night Live and the contracts the people who go to do it have to sign, they use it as a feeder system for their shows. That's why you see a lot of SNL people ending up on NBC sitcoms.
Yeah.
And they end up in the movies that they're in are Lorne Michaels movies, because they're essentially signing over. They're almost indentured servants.
Yeah.
To what they do, it's bigger than just, oh, we're going to put on a show here and here's what it is. There's a little bit more to it than
Look at some of the shit that they put out. Like, really?
Oh, yeah.
If they did anything else, a lot of their fucking movies would never be made.
What was that movie, Superstar?
Oh, yeah, with Mary Catherine Gallagher.
Oh, man, that was pretty
That was
pretty
that was really bad. Night at the Roxbury was terrible. I mean, there's a lot of stuff.
Did they make a Pat movie?
It was a Pat movie.
Yeah. All that shit. It's horrible.
That was a horrible movie.
All right, Kareem, it's time for another round of Kareem's Little Known Black History. Is it going to be the only SNL movie to feature a black star? Was Tim Meadows the ladies' man?
The ladies' man.
I see that you like the Wang.
Yes.
What was a better movie with a man with a list?
With the Wang.
Ladies Man or Pootie Tang?
Ladies Man.
Oh, man. Let me see. A Soldier Story.
Okay.
That's a black movie.
Okay, but I was going to double up on the little known black history.
On a black history
fact. Because we missed last month. Or last
week. Shit. Let me think about it for a second.
All right, Kareem, while you're thinking about it, so there's been a lot of snow in the Northeast. And the Weather Channel is out there. They're in it. And if you watch TV at all, you know Jim Cantore from the Weather Channel. He got very, very excited.
Oh, yes! Yes! Yes, we got it, baby. We got it. We got it. Woo! Woo! We got it. Yes. Listen to that. Listen to that. Oh, baby. We just got it. Oh, again. Again. That's a twofer. That's a twofer, baby. Yes.
There it is.
That's a twofer.
When was the last time twofer, either of you were that excited about anything?
Oh, yeah. Yes. It's like the rainbow guy.
Yes, again. That's a three. You got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. Pitterack.
There it is. Three, baby, in 10 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Three, baby, in 10 minutes.
Really Thundersnow, here's the fourth.
And there's another one. That's number. You got to be kidding me.
Thundersnow. Thundersnow in Massachusetts.
Well, they are.
You can have
really
your $500 million jackpot in Powerball or whatever the heck it was, but I'll take this, baby. Four lightning strikes, four episodes of Thundersnow. I can hear thunder.
Oh, there's a fifth.
So we had another one. So we actually had five strikes, five thunder.
Baby.
I mean, this is just a total change. Literally within an hour. Was that another one?
Oh, my God.
Was that? Oh, my good. Dude, that's number six.
Dude.
You got to be
kidding
me. I love
when my news guys say, dude.
Dude, I'm telling you, this is Chicago.
Well, he's a weather guy, so.
Dude.
In the middle of it.
So that's it. When was the last time either of you were that excited about anything?
Yeah, that is kind of sad,
about
man.
The Brazilian steakhouse.
I wish I was.
It's true. Yeah, I may be.
I
that
wish I could even get that excited about something.
I know. I miss being a kid and being that excited about something. The last time I was even remotely that excited, I think, was when I bought that cruiser bike that's sitting behind you, Justin. Because that was. I love that bike. But no, I was not yelling like that. So, yeah, he's stoked on stuff. Kareem, do you have a little known black history for us?
Shit, I just had it, and then I just... Oh, one out of four cowboys were black.
There you go,
yeah. That's always... I always like that fact is, like, you know, 25% of cowboys are African-American. Always kind of, you know, blows rednecks' mind. You're like, dude...
Bulldogging was...
Black guys... This black
bulldogging
dude
was invented by Bill Pickett.
Black dude was more likely to be a cowboy than you were.
It makes Blazing Saddles seem a little bit different, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's actually real.
Hey, thanks for hanging in for a little bit of a different sort of feel on this episode of the Nate Darling Show. Tried something a little out of the norm. I thought it worked okay.
Yeah, it was fun.
By the way, if you're going to support the show, and we love your support, the best way to do it is if you're going to shop Amazon, click the Shop Amazon tab at natedarlingshow.com. It helps support us. It does not cost you anything extra. So money for us, no extra money out of pocket for you. It's a win-win. For everybody, if you want to stick it to the man, Amazon gets less, so there's that. All right, thanks everybody for tuning in. More Nate Darling shows next week. You have a great weekend. Thank you for listening. We love you. For Justin, thank you for sitting in, my friend.
Thank you very much for having me.
And Kareem,
thank you. See you next week.
Yeah, everybody,
happy
have a safe
Black
weekend.
History Month, everybody.
Yeah.